worship has been unto you, in the songs of praise, of worship, of thanksgiving, of adoration. We pray that, Lord, our sacrifice will be acceptable before your sight. Now we ask, Father, that you speak to us, O Lord. Please open the eyes of our understanding that we may behold wondrous things out of your laws. Lord, give us hearts that are receptive to your words, ears that are inclined to your words, eyes that see, Father, feet that are ready to run towards you, hands that are ready to embrace you. Amen. Lord, we pray that you will be our all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, you will all do me a favor today. You will indulge me. For those who are on, I'd like to see our faces. You know, let's take advantage of this technology because we do not see each other. You know, it's very hard for me just to be preaching to numbers or letters. So please, if you can on video yourself, unmute your video. Open your video. So I'd like to see everybody. So I'll wait for a few seconds. Yeah. If you don't have video, I already know here. So you can mute yourself, but open your video. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, so, Femi.
Tommy, Lola, Keziah, John, Sister Tola. Okay, you're all on videoed. Shadi, I need to see you. Toby and Titi, I need to see you. Yes, thank you. That way we can see each other. Yeah. Brother Femi, welcome back. Okay. Thank you very much. Tosin, I'm still waiting for you. And Tommy Dare. Dr. Idowu, I'm waiting for you too. And Sister Ura. Yes. So now my heart is glad. I know everybody is doing fine. All right. No pictures. I want to see your face. Okay. Today, I'll be sharing with us a topic that I have waited for a very, very long time to share. From time to time, we have looked into certain portions of it, you know, over time. But I'm praying that by God's grace, it will give me the words to speak about this topic. And this is on the topic of the end times. This is on the topic of the end times. What will happen at the end of time in which we live? The academics, they call it the study of eschatology. I say I haven't taken time to ever teach on this because it is a hard topic and it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of study to be able to understand and, you know, furthermore, to be able to teach. And I will implore you, pray for me also, that the Lord would open the eyes of our understanding, that the Lord will grant us, you know, insight into his word, you know, on this topic of the end times. You know, we've said over so many years and so many millennia that we live in the end times, and it's appropriate that, you know, every generation of Christians that come and go, they look at the times in which they live as the end times, and, you know, what those times are about is what we want to look at today. And I'll be looking, starting from the book of Daniel, because there is a lot of revelation that God gave to Daniel at the end of, concerning the end of times. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. Okay, I will read from Daniel 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes. Whenever in the book of Daniel you hear about the Medes, I'll give you a quick background of that. First of all, the king that ransacked the Israelites in Judea and in Judah, and in Israel, you know, there was the northern and the southern kingdom. The king that brought them into the captivity was called Nebuchadnezzar and brought them to captivity in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, during the time of reign of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, they took a lot of the Jewish, young Jewish men that were full of wisdom that could help in governing their own country, changed their names, gave them a different culture. And the part of the young men that went to Babylon at that time was Daniel. Notable ones was also the ones that were given the Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so Babylon was the first nation that sacked Jerusalem. Now, the Medes and the Persians, they sacked Babylon. You know, they took over from Babylon and they became this, for Babylon was the superpower, we'll say the world power then. Then the Medes and the Persians, they took over from the Babylonians, they became the new world power. After the reign of the Medes and the Persians, or the Middle Persian Empire, the Greeks, they took over from the Middle Persian Empire. You know, they sacked the Medes and the Persians. So the Greeks, they reigned for a long time, and there's a lot in church history about the rulers of the Greeks that we'll read later on in the book of Revelations. From the Greeks came the Romans. So during the time of the Roman occupation, the Romans were the superpower back then. That was when Christ was born. You know, so this is just a background of the history. So the Darius was a king, was a Median king, or a Medio-Persian king. Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years concerning which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So remember, like we said, the Israelites, the Jews, were in Babylon at this time. And through the prophecies that God had given Jeremiah, Daniel realized that they were going to be in that captivity for 70 years before they were released. So for 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant of mercy. And that was the prayer he prayed. And just for the sake of time, let's go to verse 20. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen, Gabriel is an angel, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you. For you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks. In other version, it says 70 sevens. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Do we know who the Most High is? If we know who the Most High is, children, raise up your hands. Let me see. Do you know who the Most High is? Okay, we all know. Okay. The Most High is the Anointed One. Christ, the Anointed One. Or Jesus, the Anointed One. Jesus the Christ. And to bring in everlasting, verse 24, righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. So from the time of restoration of Jerusalem, whenever Jerusalem begins to be built, that is when the onset of that prophecy will begin. Unto the Messiah, unto the time of the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 70. A score is 20. 70 is 60. 7 weeks and 70 and 2 weeks. So who can help us do that math, please? Seven times 60?
62.
62. Okay. No, not 62.
No, 7 weeks.
69,
69,
right?
69 weeks altogether.
Sister Engineer, 7 weeks plus 60 weeks plus 2 weeks.
69 weeks.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was doing the wrong one.
Yes, you're doing the wrong one. You're using the wrong calculator.
Conversion says the 62 though.
Eh?
NKJV that I have.
It should say 62 plus 7.
62 weeks plus 7 weeks?
Yes. So
that's 69.
7 weeks. Yes. And 70, 60 and 2 weeks. So it's 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Everything is 69.
69 weeks. Yes. Okay.
The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 72 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant, and with many, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What does this mean? I know there are so many words here. Now, what he's talking about here is that, like in the time when Christ was speaking to the disciples, he spoke in parables. Many times when prophecy comes in words that are cloaked. Cloaked means veiled. Prophecy comes in things that are veiled, that just by a cursory look at it, you might not have understanding. And that is why Daniel here had to pray had to fast that the Lord will reveal to him what was to be the end of his own people. But what God revealed to him was not of his own people alone, but till the end of time. Now, what these 70 sevens or 70 weeks, some people say it is 70 weeks of years. I don't know what the years are. But from what I understand in this scripture, 69 weeks have been fulfilled already. At the end of the 69th week, the Messiah will be cut off. And that was what we saw in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where a lot of people who have tried to date the end of time, where they get it wrong, is that people think that these 70 weeks that has been prophesied are consecutive weeks of years, or they will just happen at once. But what has been found out that, and why it is so difficult, and why Christ said it is only God who knows the end of that time when he will come again, is that the time are not consecutive years that we can say we lay a date to it. What we know for sure as Christians is that we are in the final week of that prophecy of the 70 weeks. Because we know that in the 69th week, the Messiah will be cut off. And the Messiah has been cut off. Now, when the 70th week will start, or when the 70th period will start, no man knows. But it has been given to us as the children of God to know the seasons of what might be before the coming of the end. And that is what we will be looking into. We're not trying to date, because the people who have tried to date the second coming of Christ, it has been 100% failure. Everybody who has tried to date it has failed up to today. 100% failure. So it has not been given to any man to know the exact date. Christ himself has said that we do not need to bother ourselves with the timing. He told his disciples. What we know is that the time of the coming of Christ, it will be like a thief in the night. And it's incumbent upon us as the children of God to be prepared. Because when we read things like the parable of the virgins, why some of the virgins did not make it was that they were not prepared. And the question is that in this week in which we live, knowing that we are in the end times, how shall we live? Now, those end times, remember that they began after the cutting off of the Messiah. So when we read the Bible and we see the disciples, the apostles, talking about the end times, the end of time, and the second coming of the Messiah, as if it was going to be in their own lifetime, they had every cause to talk about it that way, because they did not know exactly when it was going to happen. But they knew that they were in the end of that time. So we, living today, it might happen in our own lifetime. And that is why we speak this way, that we want to live in preparation of the coming of the Messiah. Now, some things shall happen before or during that 70th week. And those are some of the things we want to look at. Many of us have heard of the rapture. Christians being caught up with Christ in the heavens. Many of us have heard of the tribulation that will come at the end of time. The great tribulation. Many of us have heard about the antichrists, the beasts, the false prophets. Many of us have had all these things. How do they come to play in how the Bible gives us prophecy and understanding? Now, I will dare say that, like I said, you know, these are very, very hard things to understand, but my prayer is that the Lord will give us understanding. In the church today, there are some divergent views about some of these things, but we don't want to look at the divergent views. What we want to look at, so we're not looking at whether Christians will be raptured before the tribulation or after the tribulation or during the tribulation. Yes, we can know it as an academic knowledge. But what we want to know is that the tribulation will happen. What we want to know is that the rapture will happen. And what we want to know is that how shall we live in the light of these things that will be at the end of time? Now, let's now go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Okay, so Jesus had just left the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. You know, when I was reading this, I was just imagining in my heart. He had just left the temple. And his disciples were showing him, you know, maybe the majesty of the temple. Because if we read about how the temple and the palace of Solomon, how they were built by Solomon, you know, it was a majestic sight. And so here they were, you know, maybe a little bit of glorying in the majesty of that temple. So they were showing Jesus the buildings of the temple. And the next thing that Jesus will say to them, verse 2, and Jesus said to them, see. Do you see all these things? I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be overthrown. There will not be one stone left upon another that will not be overthrown. When I was reading this passage, you know what struck me? What struck me was that Many soothsayers, astrologers, palm readers, there's been, you know, everybody wants to know what the future holds. But the things about the future, they are contained here in the Word of God. And it takes the Spirit of God to reveal unto man. And it is not everybody that is given that revelation. And from time to time, people are given that revelation. When at Pentecost, when Peter was praying, he said some things about the revelations of the Old Testament, that those things that were being talked about, now is the fulfillment of them. Paul, he will take some things from the Old Testament. These things that have been talked about in the Old Testament, or these prophecies, this is the fulfillment of it. At the time Christ came to Jerusalem, at the time he was born, prophecies in the Old Testament about the birth of the Messiah, the Pharisees have been reading it for donkey years. The rulers of the temple, those who are the religious zealots, the religious people who are supposed to know the law inside out, who are supposed to know the prophets inside out, they had been reading all these things for donkey years. And yet the Messiah came and they did not recognize it. It's no different from our time, brethren, because certain things are already being set into motion. And we are living in those times of the end, and they are right before our eyes happening. And what I do not want is that we will see prophecy being fulfilled, and we will be oblivious of what God is doing. As Christians, as the children of God, we ought to know the times in which we live so that we can plug into what God is doing on the earth in these times in which we live, so that we do not pray amiss. When God is doing his own thing, no matter what we pray, if our prayers are not in line with what God is doing, those prayers will not be answered. And we better know what God is doing in the time in which we live, so that our prayers will not only be in line, but will support the work of God upon the earth today. Now, So Jesus Christ told them that not one stone will be left upon another. If we go to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem today and look at the ruins, after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, history has it that there was forgotten the name of the Roman king that came and pretty much routed the temple, destroyed everything, and carted the Jews from Jerusalem to Rome, and that is how they dispersed to many places in the earth for close to 1,000 years. So from that time until about 1948, when the Jewish nation began to gather again, when Jerusalem began to, peoples were now returning back onto Jerusalem, they were a people without a nation, in fulfillment of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That place where the Temple Mount is today is a place of contention, because there are some major religions of the earth today that lay claim to certain aspects of that place, but that's not discussion for today. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" Three things they were asking him. The signs of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. When shall it be? What is the sign of when you are going to come? Because you've said that you are coming again. And what is the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Jesus didn't give them the time or anything. He didn't answer them according to what they wanted. The first thing that Jesus Christ said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, brethren, I will ask us. You see, when when you ask a question and somebody is giving you an answer, 90% or 99% of the cases, the first thing or the first statement or the first argument that is made to the answer that you're looking for is the crux and the core of what your answer is. The first thing that the Lord Jesus told them, "Take heed that you are not deceived." Satan is called the deceiver. He's called the father of lies. The Bible says that when Satan tells a lie, that is his own truth. He's speaking of his own, the things that is his own nature. And even in the end of time, you know, later on, we'll read it as we go forward. At the time of the end, the power behind the Antichrist, the power behind the false prophets is Satan himself. Because he's going to bring about a deception that even he's going to be able to call down fire from heaven and people will believe him for what he's doing. Now, we don't need to go far. Within the church today, the deception that is being talked about is already being seen. The deception which of which Satan is the foundation of deception is already being seen in the church today. Now let's go forward, and I will make it clear. And Jesus answered, verse 4, and said unto him, take heed. In my language, they will say, "Open wide your ears." Abi, how do they say it? Shine your eyes, or shine your light. Take heed that you are not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. He didn't say take heed that the devil doesn't deceive you, because the devil uses men to deceive. The devil uses women to deceive. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. Let's break that down for a second. First of all, he told them, take heed that no man deceive you, because many people will come in my name and shall deceive many. There are certain schools of thoughts on how that deception takes place. And there are three major ways in which, you know, I have seen personally and I have read about. Number one, many will come saying, I am Christ. So some people have already, and remember that this thing that has been talked about, Christ was talking about a future thing that will happen. So this was still, Christ was still in the 69th week talking about what will happen in the 70th week. So many will come in his name is our time. Many will come in his name is still a future time, because that time of the end is the time in which we are living. Many people will come and say, I am Christ. Like Sister Kemi will come and say, I am Jesus Christ, follow me. That is one of the meanings. Tenny will come and say, I am Jesus Christ, follow me. In Nigeria, some time ago, we had somebody saying, I am Jesu Igbo. There was another Mexican, I was on CNN for some time, saying, I am Jesus Christ. So there are many people who are going to come like that. And guess what? Many people are going to follow them, because the spirit of deception is upon the earth. And that's why Christ said, take heed. Because people are going to come and say they are Jesus, and many will follow them. So that is one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is that many people will come saying, many people will come in my name. They will tell you, Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to the name of the Father. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So in their language, you say they are Christians. But they will deceive many. That is the one a lot of us are seeing today. Many of them, we call them Papa, Mama. And they are deceiving Christians. Because from the pattern of their lives, from the pattern of the words that they preach, it is not the same Jesus of the Bible. It is not the anointed words that Jesus has preached. That is the second aspect. Because if a person will come and tell you that, look at how Jesus has blessed me. I am rich beyond any measure. And Jesus comes and teaches you that it is hard for a camel. It will be harder for a man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. And yet there is a man teaching you that just pursue wealth, everything your eyes desire, which is what Satan said, you will get. That is another way. People are coming. They will preach the word. They will say the language you want to hear. But they will deceive many, because many will follow them. And there are many, many pastors, brethren, nowadays that are gods to their own people following them, that has made merchandise of the souls of many. Their followers will buy their books. Their followers will sell their houses. Their followers will buy their anointing oil. Their followers will use their credit cards to do. Many have been deceived. They will have church programs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday again to start. So there is never a time where you will be able to think, where you'll be able to spend time with your families, where you'll be able to spend time to read the word of God yourself. Only what you hear from the pulpit is the only thing that you take as gospel truth. That is another aspect of it. The third aspect of it is that many will come and claim that the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve is a Christ, and there are many Christs. But what Jesus is saying was that Christ is the Christ, the anointed one, not a Christ. And at that time of the end, many will come saying that Jesus is just a Christ. You yourself, you can be like Jesus. You can be a Christ. And I've had some pastors, preach it, that ye are gods. So you too, you can be a god. It's no different. And shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're already hearing about it. Wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And remember, by God's grace, as we go on, we'll begin to see what are these things that will happen before the end of time comes. That end of time, that second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day that is, many prophets have said, is called the great day of the Lord or the day of the Lord. What are the things that will happen? What is the day of the Lord? We shall still go into it, but not today. But these are just the preambles. And it comes to, but the end is not yet. In some texts, they say that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be troubles, there will be pestilences. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquake in various places. While COVID-19 was affecting China and America and Russia and Italy, do we all know that there was a huge locust outbreak in East Africa, in Ethiopia, in Sudan? Do we all know about that? Not many people knew that there's been a huge locust outbreak, but it wasn't in some news outlets carried it. So famine, we will see it. Pestilence, you see, when it comes to the large scheme of the things that will afflict the earth at the end of time, COVID-19 is a baby. COVID-19 is just a toddler, an infant. Because we have not seen anything yet. Now, let me tell you something. In doing this study, there is going to come a time when the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the earth before the destruction of Satan himself. But what gives me joy and consolation and comfort is that the Bible says that we as the children of God, we have not been appointed to the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God is going to be poured upon the nations at the end of time. But the children of God are not going to partake of that wrath of God. But the persecution that will come before the wrath is poured out upon the earth. Believe me, Christians, there are some Christians who say that we will not partake of that persecution. I do not believe that. Because right from the beginning, Christians have been partaking of it. And what Christ is telling us is to be prepared. Because the time may come. The time may come when the dollar fails. The time may come when the euro and the pound fails. How will the children of God live? The time may come. It might be in our own time. When, you know, that the Bible says that there are many antichrists. The spirit of antichrist, right from the time when the Son of God was born, the spirit of the antichrist was already unleashed upon the earth. But the man of sin himself, what Revelation calls the Antichrist, because there's the spirit of the Antichrist, that the Antichrist, the man of sin, will still be revealed. The question is that, will it be in our own time? I don't know. But if it happens in our own time, how ought we to live? These are the things we want to look at. Let me go forward. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All these things happening are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. It is already happening. We've heard about Boko Haram killing Christians in northern Nigeria. We've heard about Al-Qaeda killing Christians, ISIS killing Christians. We've heard about Christians being tortured in China, in Northern Korea. All these things are happening. These are the signs of the end of the times, what Christ called the beginning of sorrows. But we are not yet at that time where the real deal is happening yet. And that real deal can happen in the blink of an eye. Who would have thought a virus could shut the whole earth down in how many weeks? Towards the end of February, that's when it started, right? And in like a month, it became a worldwide phenomenon that everybody had to be imprisoned in their own houses. Let that be a hint to what can happen when things greater than COVID comes. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, to be killed, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. All these things, we have been seeing them. And the Bible says that they're beginning of sorrows. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The person who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then the end will come. This gospel shall be preached. And this is the time in which we live. And as we go on next week, by the grace of God, we shall begin to look at these things, you know, detail by detail, about what season we live in. We are not trying to predict the day Christ will come. You know, there was Daddy Campin on the radio a few years ago, you know, who tried to predict it, missed it. And before him, there are many who have come. So that time has not been given to anybody. But Christ has told us as his children to watch and to wait, to be prepared. Because as a thief in the night, if you've ever been robbed by thieves before, you know that is an appointment nobody prepares for. They visit you and you are not prepared for it, but it makes an indelible mark upon your life. As a thief in the night, so shall the coming of the Lord be. Now, before the end of all things, there shall be an event in which the dead in Christ will be raised to life first, to be caught up, to be in the air, to be with Jesus. And then those who are alive at that time, and we'll see that in the book of Thessalonians, because there was some bother with the Christians that what will happen to those who are dead, our brethren who are already dead. And Paul was now writing to them that don't worry, those who are dead will not be left behind. The people who are dead in Christ, they will be raised to be with Jesus. Then those who are living, who are alive at that time, they too will be lifted up to be with Jesus. But at that time, there'll be two people, you know, and this what Christ was making, and we'll continue next year by the grace of God. There'll be two people milling in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two people in a room. One will be taken, one will be left. How can we live? How should we live to making sure that we are not left behind? This great salvation that the Lord has purchased for us, how can we live to ensure that the devil doesn't steal it from us? These are the things we'll be looking at by the grace of God in the weeks to come. Brethren, we are in the last days, no doubt about it. We are in the last days. And just as Christ and through the apostles he has taught us, we ought to be people who are prepared. We ought to be people who when you know the thing that you are, when you know the beauty and the majesty of the place to where you are going, there will be an anticipation in your heart to go there. When you know the person that your heart has longed for to see, there will be an anticipation in your heart to see the person. And the question I want us to ask ourselves, you know, this week and the weeks coming, and how we live our lives, is there any anticipation in our hearts to see Jesus? Is there any longing in our hearts for Christ to come? Is there any preparation in our hearts to watch and to wait and to long for his coming? May the Lord make us prepared people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these times in which we live. Right from the beginning of time, you have apportioned each person a time in which they would live. And the times in which we live today has been destined by you for us to be in it. We pray, Lord, that we will be people prepared, that if tomorrow is that day when the trumpets shall sound, that our joy will not be stolen. So, Lord, my prayer is that as we go through this series, that our hearts would long for you because we know you more. Our hearts would long for eternity because the truths of eternity will now be made a reality to us. Jesus, we pray that you would make us a people who are prepared and not people who are anchored to a world that will be destroyed by fire, but people who are, Lord, prepared with hope in their hearts to one day being with you. So, my Lord, open our eyes to behold the realities of eternity, that with everyone listening, our eyes will behold you. Our eyes will behold you. Lord, this is our prayer. You have blessed us with many material things, and we are grateful, O Lord. My prayer is that more than the material things, you will bless us with the spiritual. That our accounts, our bank accounts in heaven, Lord, will be full. Our deposits in heaven will be full. Our deposits in the bowl of prayer will be full. This is my prayer, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who I ask. Amen.
Amen.